All right, I'm just gonna, now, hold on. See, now I'm having trouble hearing myself. I just had my, this is Jen Gaeta Siciliano, your host of Not As Crazy As You Think podcast. And I have to say, today I was so looking forward to this experience and meeting up with Michelle Williams, aka the Freedom Fairy on Instagram and others, YouTube, different platforms. We've had a podcast before, but I was told by Michelle that she's going to be visiting New York City. So I had to get myself down here and make sure that we had a new conversation about where she's at, what she's doing with her professional dreams, because it's a big inspiration to me. She was a psych survivor, and we have a wonderful podcast that we had done last year. So I will definitely link that up in the show notes. So check that out, because she also has a variety of experiences with the psychiatric institution and their families. So Michelle, I am so psyched that we are making this happening and we are recording once again.
Yes, I'm so excited that you wanted to talk to me again and that you wanted to meet me.
Oh my God.
Because I wanted to meet you.
Well, it's funny because we did like hang and meet, right? Mm-hmm. But like to meet in person,
yeah,
it's so different. Yeah. And we don't always do that, you know? Like we have to, you know, take those opportunities when they come up. And yeah. I felt that this was important to do that.
Definitely.
So, why are you in New York? Tell us, what is your dream? What has brought you here?
What brought me here was a dream I had when I was 14. I started ballet late, and when I took my first ballet class at age 14, I just fell in love immediately. I was just like, this feeling, I never felt it before. It's like you're in a different realm. Mm-hmm. Like you forget about all the things you usually think about. It's like a different realm. You just forget about the world that you were existing in. And then the music is so like, the music is healing. There's even studies that classical music affects, you know, those water crystal images.
Mm.
I forget which doctor did that.
Yeah, the Japanese doctor.
Yeah.
On water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And classical music changes and makes the water crystals into a beautiful pattern. It's like, nice. And that's really what I needed at the time. I had already been struggling with my mental health and, you know, abuse and trauma for many years. Mm-hmm. And getting into my depression and everything. And so when I took ballet, it just was like, that was one of my first healing modalities. Mm. So a whole long journey of how it was such a struggle because I started late. I didn't think being a professional was even possible, but that's what I wanted. Right. And so I worked as if I was going to be a professional, researching as much as I could in my local libraries and doing the best that I could with the education around me. But I could tell, you know, my teachers didn't really think I'd go anywhere, and I didn't really think I'd go anywhere. And then, of course, when I got into college, that's when I took most of my psychiatric medication.
Yeah.
And I gained 100 pounds in 3 months. And
did you gain that much?
Yeah. 30 pounds in only 2 weeks. Thanks, Zyprexa.
Yeah.
Thanks. And on top of that, now I have to say too, you know, not saying that my binge eating was the main thing. No, because I had been binge eating for years. Mm-hmm. But it was only when I started taking Zyprexa that I gained 30 pounds in 2 weeks. my binging was consistent. It's not like I all of a sudden was binging more, you know?
Right.
It's just the addition of Zyprexa, then of course.
Right, right. They can't point to that and just link that as the only thing.
Well, that's what my psychiatrist did. Right. They all did that. They all said, well, it's because you binge. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I knew I couldn't talk to them about it. Because they were just going to blame my binge eating.
Right. So how did you pull away and continue your dreams?
Okay.
But yeah. What was the next thing that led you towards it?
Yeah. So so after college, you know, I kind of lost my passion just because of all the psychiatric problems. And then plus, my college just wasn't set up in a way that was going to support me. Like, they wanted us modern dance. And ballet are very different, and especially this type of modern dance, it was very like pedestrian and everything was in silence. It was just not my vibe.
They didn't use music.
We didn't. The day before the show, my teacher would throw in a CD and just play random songs over top of our choreography.
Oh, stop.
You see Riverside, you shouldn't go there.
Yeah, that to me just doesn't sound
right. It's horrible. So, a couple years after I graduated, I ended up being able to become a dance teacher by some, I guess, the universe, God. And this was a really good ballet school. I became certified in the Royal Academy of Dance. I was a great ballet teacher, okay? Great. But I didn't really love the job. I really didn't love it. I wanted to perform. I wanted to create stories. I wanted to choreograph. And, I mean, just being a dance teacher, you can't live off of that.
Yeah.
Unless you have a rich husband or like, you just can't live off of it. And then I just didn't want to do it, bottom line. And then COVID happened. The only way you could take class was either at home or you had to wear a mask or you had to get a vaccine, which I wasn't going to do that. And so it wasn't until like last year, I thought, you know, the studio started to open up, like you don't have to wear a mask, they don't check for vaccination. So that's when I thought to myself, I deserve to just enjoy dance, like just enjoy it, like no expectation.
Yeah.
So once I started doing that, all these opportunities started to come up for me, like more opportunities to dance, other things. And I was like, okay. And I just like grabbed onto all of them. Everyone that opened up, I just grabbed onto it. And that's how I'm here now in New York City.
Well, it's so cool because it really shows that it's we hold ourselves back by not aligning with the magic of the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you do that, all of a sudden all these opportunities like show up, and it's a lot of it is letting go.
Yes.
And allowing, you know, the next thing to happen. You know, that sense of it's like the law of allowing.
Yes. Yes.
Like just being open to letting something guide you.
Yes.
So you definitely arrived with this like, intuitive pulse that guided this journey.
Yes, definitely.
Do you feel now that you're here, that you made the right decision?
1,000%. I knew it when I was looking on the New York City Ballet website to see when they were going to come to LA so I could buy tickets to see them perform. And I saw that they had an adult program, and I was like, there's no way. And that when I started ballet as a teenager, there's no way I could have ever taken class at New York City Ballet just because I started late. Like, I could barely take class at a local studio. They didn't even really want me there because I was too old.
So it's like you had to get almost like all this college training to get to where you are now to arrive at the University of LA.
I went backwards in a way. It's like I started late and then I went back. It's just so weird. But I really feel like God planned it. Like he planned it this way. Like, because this adult ballet has only recently become a thing where they let adults come and just take class. And so like even back then, this kind of thing didn't exist when I was a teenager. Unheard of. And it's only now when I start believing in myself that this, okay, now it's open.
Okay, so this is what we want to talk about.
Yes.
Believing in yourself.
Yes.
And how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with this experience, you know, and looking back at when things were more difficult, why were you able to believe in yourself? Because this is like, you
know. Okay. So.
Right?
I think it was really just my journey. I feel like I was talking to you earlier about how my relationship with my boyfriend was like the last phase of my healing journey, because yes, you know, as a teenager I went to therapy and I took psychiatric drugs, and then after that, you know, I really don't believe that the psychiatric drugs were healing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just part of it, I don't think it was healing at all. I think it was actually like, I could have done without all of that. Yeah. But the therapy and, you know, different hospitalizations, especially for my eating disorder, I think they did help me in a certain way. And then, of course, moving out of the environment where I with my abuser, I moved out. So those were two big things that helped in my healing journey, but I was still very depressed. I still had low self-esteem. And but when I got together with my boyfriend, I think him loving me and teaching me, and also me being able to love him and change myself so that we could have a healthy relationship. And also, I mean, he taught me about healing with food and energy, and of course that opened up so many other things in me, like that's how I got interested in energy healing, and I became a crystal healer, and just becoming more spiritual. And so I think my time spent with my boyfriend was very, very healing for me. And it's not just like my own journey, but like I see the world so much differently now. Like, I see how if I can change, so many people can change. And I feel like a lot of people today look at the world like it's hopeless, all these things. But I know that it's not, because I changed. Right. You know, I used to be this type of person that I would have never thought could be any different, and I changed for the better. Yeah. So I'm like, if I can do it, I can see so many people in this world, I can relate to them, like I was there, they can change too.
Right. So many people give up on that faith in themselves. It's so hard. And, you know, we've discussed this before, where, you know, when you have a, I guess, medical authority that's trying to save you, you know, by saying that, you know, they have the treatments that work, and it's preventing you from growing because they're saying that you can't trust yourself, or you can't trust your mind, and you need them to live, and you know better.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we've come a long way. I mean, I get where you've been, how important, you know, a journey you've taken.
Yeah.
You know, how long it's been, and still you, I see you as being like this young sprite, you know, but still it was long for you in your life. It was a large part of your life. So, you know, I look at right now this experience that has, you know, kind of, that is right now like blossoming your life, as being so faithful. Because I see the beautiful things that you do on Instagram. Everybody's got to check out your Instagram stuff. Because right now, she is like going to Washington Square Park and Union Square Park and doing all these like live events. Or, you know, she is putting on these performances that it takes a lot of courage to do that, you know? And there's this sense that, you know, if somebody maybe in your past saw you now, they might even say, well, that's a crazy thing to do. But we were just saying, no, in New York, that's not crazy. Like, that's just completely accepted, you know, because you're encouraged to be expressive in New York. You're in the right location.
Yes. And I've only performed once, but I have felt, you know, a lot of encouragement from everyone in New York. And I really appreciate them, because it's like, thank you for supporting my dreams. Like, you know, like it's so hard to get people to support you.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, just even in us sharing our story with psychiatric abuse, you know? We barely even, we were both talking about how when we met, like about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
That we both thought, like, we're the only ones that ever went through this. And then we jumped on this Zoom, and it was like so many people also went through this.
And it was almost like everyone was quiet in the closet and afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was like, I felt so bad because at that point, I'd already done a few podcasts. We both had done some podcasts.
Yeah.
And we were looking at our stuff like that. And
it's a legitimate political party.
Group a little bit more, like, you know, expressive and confident. Like, there were a lot of people you could tell that were just starting to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I wanted to, like, definitely reconnect because, you know, in our sharing our journey, so many other people can find the courage in themselves.
Yes.
But it is interesting. One of the things I also wanted to, again, touch base on, because we've discussed this before, but I think it's just so important to it. To pull out for a new, like, a new dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the journey and tapering and getting off meds, like, now I've just completed my, and this is great because I was going to do a whole podcast episode about just me talking about how I completed my tapering. But I already discussed tapering so many times that it's like, do I need a whole episode discussing this? But now that you're here, I can discuss it with you because you have experience. And you've gone through a difficult time. You know, I had gone through a difficult time before when I tried to do it too quickly, and then I ended up at the hospital. So I didn't know if this was going to go well. But it went so well that I'm just like, I feel like this is really just like the beginning. It's like a totally new chapter in my life.
Yes, I'm so, I just want, congratulations, like really, you're free of that, and that's so amazing, Jen, I'm so, so happy for you that you're able to do that.
I mean, it's been, it was 30 years when I was first, 3 years ago that I was first putting this stuff in, you know, it took the over two years to get off them, but I knew I didn't need them, it was just a matter of allowing my body to not suffer withdrawal. I didn't want to go through withdrawal because I couldn't afford not to work.
Right.
Because you know what can happen with the withdrawal. You know, you just really need to like lie down and keep your head straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. So, it was just, it's just so great to now be on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I want to bring this up is because I, as I said before, I want the dynamic to change between people who are still using meds and feel okay with that, which is, again, we're not judging. And people who are struggling with the program, like the psychiatric program in general, and the problems of sex, we're on the same team. And we've all experienced, we've had lived experience.
Yes.
Some people who feel that meds help, that's great. But, you know, a lot of us have moved on from that.
Yes.
So, you know, we still want, like, we know that maintaining mental health is so important, but we're choosing another way.
Yes.
And I see, like, what you're doing right now, and following your voice, and following your dreams, and following your intuition, like, that to me is maintaining your mental health.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. 1000% it is.
Yes.
Because it is so heartbreaking to like be always like thinking about your dream. Like I was just thinking about this. There's been so many times where people have asked like, oh, on a different timeline, like what would you have done with your life? And my time and always my answer is like, oh, to be a professional ballet dancer. But it's like, why not now? Why not now, girl? Why not? And let me just say something. Professional, because it's a whole thing, and especially in the ballet world, like, oh, you have to be with a company or whatever, whatever. Listen, all it means is you get paid to dance. That's all it means.
That's right.
So I'm dancing in the park. You throw money at me. I mean, put it in my box, but... my tip box, or send it to my Venmo. But I'm a professional dancer, so.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So I'm a professional dancer, yes I am.
But see, this is the beautiful mindset, isn't it? It's like you put yourself in that mindset, and you can do that in New York.
Yeah.
there's this sense that when you come here with a dream, you know, like there's the abilities to not only within yourself to achieve it, but within, like, I guess the magic of this like city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, things open up, like you notice things and things call to you, and you meet the right people, and you take the right class, and you know, and then suddenly opportunities show.
This is the best place for dance. This is the best place for dance. People appreciate it more. This is where the most money is for dance. It's just the best place for dance.
Yeah. People come here from all over.
Come here to dance. If you want to be a dancer, come here. You have to come here. Don't go to LA.
She's not coming back home to LA.
No. And all I had to do was believe in myself. That's all I had to do. I mean, of course, hard work, but I was always gonna work hard for my dreams. That was a given. I was already doing that at age 14. But it's like, I just didn't believe in myself.
So it comes down to this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Believing in yourself. Oh, and so let me record this, because this is the other thing that I am so happy to be sharing with you, because of this. Because when I saw that you were coming down here, I was given such, like, inspiration from it, because it just brought me back to when I was following my dreams, like, you know, when I was younger, and had vision for myself, and things went wrong. You know what I mean? As sometimes life applies us with those experiences for one reason or another, to take us off the path, because we're going to be back on it 30 years later. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it feels like that to me now, because, you know, I'm watching and I'm thinking, like, you're going to experience what I was hoping to experience if things went right for me. I feel that, and I really want to just bestow that your way, because
so my best.
Oh my gosh!
Coming from from a fellow Cancer, that's how I know it's real.
Yeah, that's right. And this is the Cancer era, right?
Yeah.
This is the Cancer time.
Yeah, well, I think it's just
birthdays.
I think it's almost going to be Leo season, if it's not already.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's right.
But still.
I mean, no, it's a lot.
But
still, today.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But hey, go out with a bang.
That's right. That's right.
And Leo energy is cool, too. Leo energy is the sun, it's creativity, it's performance.
Yes, that's right.
It's love.
Yes. Which we all need.
Yes. Love is healing. Love is the way to heal.
You are a burst of inspiration. You are going to have wind underneath your wings. I know that you are going to continue taking flight in New York City.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, I know. I feel it.
I feel it
this
too.
Is a place for me.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming and visiting once more to my podcast. And, you know, I shouldn't just say that, because you could cut that out. And cut out my opening.
Yeah, I'll just leave it in. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's work. I'll just say something like replay or like preview or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can say we recorded it elsewhere, whatever, but you're showing it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm so psyched to have, like, reconnected. And, oh, this is the last thing I want to say. We also went to a fabulous, cool, what's it called? Peace Food Cafe?
Yeah, Peace Food Cafe, yeah.
Peace Food Cafe. And we had lovely juices.
Yeah, they were so cute.
And I had raw lasagna.
Yeah, raw lasagna.
Which was amazing. And how was your rigatoni?
It was all right. It was all right. I think those chickpea fries were great.
Oh, chickpea fries with Indian spices.
It was so yummy.
It was so yummy. And I don't know, that was a very nice sauce that they also happened to.
It was like a creamy kind of sauce.
It was
nice.
Yummy. It was very nice.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah. So we decided to have a little... and then I'm going to say this. And we did have a little escapade, because we went to Central Park and it was getting rather dark.
It was already dark.
And then when I started looking at the Zoom recording, I started realizing that I might not have, or thinking, I should say, that I didn't have an SD card to record this. Mm-hmm. But so we said, you know what, we're gonna make this happen anyway. And we're gonna go and check it out, and let's just go get a card at 21. When, and it was 2 blocks away, and it was out of the park, we said, forget it, let's just, you know, we'll record in one of these, like, sidewalk cafe things. So, but thank God, you know, maybe I'm saying thank God, because I feel like there's something that brought us out of that park. Mm-hmm. Because I had the MSD card.
Yeah, it was in there.
It was in there. I didn't even need to buy it. I had to return it.
Yeah, so an SD card saved our lives.
I think so. I think so. I had that feeling.
Yeah.
There were, like, you know, some, you know, listen, I try not to be suspicious of people, but there were a few suspicious characters, you know, after 9 in Central Park.
Yeah.
Never cared.
Yeah.
So, following our, I want to bestow upon Michelle all the luck in the world walking through New York City as well. Being a little Californian here.
Riding the city bike through Times Square, losing my earbud. Like, last time I rode a bike, last time I rode a bike was in college when I was on all those meds.
Oh, God.
And I couldn't even stand on a bike. I was so, my center of balance was so messed up that I just crashed. And then, until the other day when I rode a city bike through Times Square, that was, so I was like shaking everywhere. Someone should have filmed me.
I can't believe you did it.
That's that on YouTube or something. That was hilarious.
That's incredible. I would never, I mean, I drive a car in New York City, but that took me years and years and years to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it when I was young. I did it like only starting probably about 9 years ago in my lifetime.
Wow.
Never had I driven down here. I always took the train.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's wild. But
it's wild.
A bike?
Oh, I love the bike now. Oh, give me a bike, girl. I love the city bike.
Oh,
I probably should get a helmet and maybe some cordless headphones.
Yeah.
But I love the bike. I loved riding bikes when I was little. So
Sydney,
to ride my bike.
Are you over your fear, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, what was it? That's right. It was the drugs.
It was just the drugs that made me, like, I couldn't. Messed up my center of gravity. And again, why I couldn't pursue dance even if I wanted to, because it was just, I gained so much weight so fast. I was full body tremor 24/7.
Yeah.
And I was slurring my speech. I was running through red lights. Thanks, bupropion.
Yes.
The Wellbutrin, whatchamacallit. Generic that they weren't even supposed to be given out.
Really?
But my psychiatrist was giving me samples. She didn't even write me a prescription. She just gave me pills every time she saw me. That's a whole other, check out my podcast episode called The Worst Medication I Ever Took. Yep. And I was always feeling like I was going to pass out on that drug. And I couldn't sleep, and I had lost my appetite. But I didn't lose any weight. I was still 200 pounds.
That's so sad. Because you're so, like, tiny. And to think that you had grown up that much, and they kept insisting that it was you who was doing it to yourself rather than the drugs. Because that's what they do.
And it didn't make sense, because I was a dance major. I danced for, like, 4, 5, 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
So even if I was binging, like, okay, because that's how it was. Through high school, I would binge, but I was dancing so much, it kind of balanced out.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they added Zyprexa that the weight started coming on, and it stayed on.
Yeah, until you got off.
Well, even when I got off, there was a, you know, I kind of got off in a really bad way. Again,
that was the bad
listen to my podcast. Yeah, I just kind of stopped all my meds because it was triggered by this horrible relationship I was in with a guy. But, I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I wasn't on any meds, but my weight was still the same.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they prescribed me another medication, which I'm not going to say because I don't want people to be asking their doctors for it if they have eating disorders just to lose weight.
Mm.
But they prescribed me another med that I lost 70 pounds in 1 month.
Oh, that's so bad for you.
And it's like, okay, like, I've been telling my doctor, multiple doctors, for years, Zyprexa is making me gain weight, and they just kept saying, oh no, it's your binge eating. Then I had this crisis where I stopped all my meds, and I blew up at my therapist, I blew up at my psychiatrist, and so all she had to do was write me a different prescription. Why didn't she do that? Like, because 4 years ago.
They don't revisit anything. Like, it's always like, I'll keep going down because it's too much work. Because first of all, the whole system doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's like they figure, oh, okay, well, let's just like keep going down the same course or raise the dose. Like
that's all they do.
That's all they do.
They never take away.
No.
They never question. And they never question another doctor. They never question. Like, so many times I went to a new psychiatrist, and they never went back and were like, oh, maybe the psychiatrist was wrong. No. Right. They were always like, they always just like, oh, no, the doctor's right. The doctor's right. You're fucked up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so funny. It's with no test. There's never anything that goes with it, right? It's just because the doctor said so.
And they don't even talk to each other. No. They just say, oh, that's what you were on over there? Cool, so you're still on it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm like, no, but I can't sleep. No, you're still on it. But I can't eat. No, you're still on it. No, but I gained 100 pounds this year. No, you're still... Like, what? I'm running through red lights, girl. Ugh. Okay? Like, I don't know about that.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
But that's because they want to stay in church. You know what I mean? This authoritative, like, this is it. We know. And again, I mean, listen... When people, and I'm saying this because I know that there's going to be people who are listening who are on these meds who feel like good about it. You may be feeling that way, and it may be a system you have to pass through. But it doesn't need to be forever.
Yeah.
And if you believe that, it will be forever. Okay? Yeah. But if you really feel that one day you can let this stuff go and have a transformation, allow yourself to have that dream.
Yeah.
It could be a one day thing in the future.
You know?
But when you don't have to be bothered with this anymore, it opens up. Like whole new avenues of growth.
Yeah.
And there's different ways to grow and get better from mental distress.
So many ways do not require medication.
Right. Because with the medication comes the doctor. And with the doctor comes the consistent reminder that you're ill and that you're incapable to trust yourself.
Yeah.
And what we're discussing in this episode is having the faith in yourself.
Yes.
You know, believing in yourself. How do you do that? Well, sometimes you have to say no to the people who don't believe in you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, whenever you're involved with a psychiatrist, they're not believing you.
No. And another thing is sometimes you do know better than your doctor.
Yes. Yes.
And I knew better than my doctor.
Right.
I knew better than all of them, but I was just too scared because I didn't want to end up back in the mental hospital.
Right. I know that feeling. Oh, that is a place you want to avoid at all costs. I mean, but it's a beautiful thing because the message is you can come out.
Yes.
So all these new brand new things are going to be in store. And I want to include some snippets.
Okay. Sure.
Like maybe in the YouTube video of this audio.
Okay.
Some things that you do, you know, that you have taken little shots of.
Oh, some dance videos?
Yes.
Okay, great. Right. Yeah, totally. Yes. I'm okay, so happy. Thank you, Jen. Yes. See? Exactly. People want to see me dance?
Yeah, man.
See? Take that, all those teachers who thought I wouldn't ever do anything. Who were just like, nah, she's too old.
That's such a fallacy in dancing. Yeah. You do that sometimes, you know? Because it's not, I mean, listen, like I said, I went to musical theater so late, and yes, I wasn't a dancer, I was a mover, but the point is, I still was able to learn to move.
Yeah.
You can learn, you know what I mean? At any age, or many of these things, yes, ballet is one of those things you want to start early, but it doesn't mean if you start late, you can't find the inspiration and the power and the passion within to go for the distance.
Yeah.
And many people give up when they start early. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's not like that's the only way.
Right.
It found you.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
So, Michelle, good luck with everything in New York, and maybe we'll do this again soon.
Yes, thank you so much, Jen. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on again. Love hanging out with you. Okay, so now,